it's really important for me that I don't just check out, that I explain and just say, hey, I'm going to go take a 15-minute walk on the trail and I'll be right back. And they're like, well, I want to go too. Awesome. I'll be back in 15 minutes and then we'll go together. And, or I'm going to go for 15 minutes and I'm going to read or I'm going to do whatever. But by letting them know, it's not about you. I'm not leaving you. I want to be better with you.
Yeah.
Welcome to More Than Small Talk. We're Susie Eller,
Jennifer Watson,
and Holly Girth, writers and real life friends. We're inviting you to go deeper, become freer, and feel more connected.
So imagine you have a cup of coffee, a mug of tea, or a green smoothie in your hand,
and we're all hanging out in your favorite place together.
Hello, fourth chair friends. We are coming to you with another week. We are going to be talking about strategic solitude, which is getting the time alone we need, which we're in an interesting season with that. Some of us may feel like I've had too much time alone. Some of us may feel like I have people in my house all the time now. I have not had enough time alone. So we wanted to have a conversation about what we need and how to be intentional about getting it.
Before I ask today's confession question, I want you to know that I'm also going to be posing this confession question in our More Than Small Talk Facebook group. So if you have not been a part of that group yet, come on in. So today's confession question is this: have you ever felt guilty for needing time alone?
All the time, every day, all day. I always feel guilty for needing that just because I love my life. I love my family. I love what I do. But I get, there's like a timer for me to where I get completely done and I need to like recharge because I feel like I'm not really fun to be around once I've hit that limit. So I've always felt badly about that. And just thought that that was horrible. At big events, I will, especially like family events, I will just like hide in the bathroom for a little while just to like catch my breath, read a few articles or whatever. But I just have always felt like, oh, this is terrible. I should really love being around people 24/7. And I just don't, you know?
Yeah. When my children were growing up, one of my children, I would call her a stick tight because there was no place I could go that she wasn't there. And goodness, I love her and loved her with my whole heart. But I remember going into the bathroom and shutting the door and like seeing her little hand come underneath, just like, when are you coming out, Mom? And I'm thinking, never. You've got to stop this. And so it's been interesting because now that she's grown, she has two stick tight children. And I have delighted in watching this. Anyway, I think that a lot of women can identify with that, you know, just trying to find that time where you can just go into the bathroom and run a bath and be alone for 10 minutes. And yet somebody's calling your name or they're knocking on the door. They're needing one more thing from you. Yeah. So in those times, I felt a little guilty because she just sounded so pitiful.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And I think I used to more than I do now. We're talking about this as a follow-up to an episode we did on introverts and extroverts. And we talked about how introverts do need that time because we're processing all we've taken in through our nervous system. So if you missed that episode, you can catch up and have some more context. But the more I learned that this is not optional, it's a necessity for us to be at our best. And I think that's true for all of us. We need different amounts of alone time, but we all need some. And I think one thing that tripped me up for a long time was, you know, in the creation story, God makes everything and he says, it's good. And then he says, it's not good for man to be alone. And I sort of thought, well, then I'm not supposed to ever be alone. And so I actually looked back at that verse and what the original meaning of that word is. And it actually means living in separation and isolation. It has nothing to do with physical space. You can be physically alone and actually feel more connected to God, others, and your true self than when you're in a crowd. Some of my loneliest moments have been in crowds. And so understanding that, that it's not about physical space, it's about an emotional state that we're in, has been really helpful to understand.
Yeah. And I think the challenge comes when you're married to an introvert.
Yeah.
I am not. I'm married to an extrovert. Jennifer is married to, and our extroverts are extreme extroverts.
Oh, totally. 100%.
And it's actually what drew me to him.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is that when I met him, he was so on and so in to every, you know, everything. It was like, wow, why would I not want to be a part of this?
Right.
And then, you know, I realize now that married to an extrovert, when I say, hey, I need time alone, that can come across to an extrovert as, I don't want to be with you, you know, because they fill up by being with you. They fill up by being with people. So that's a real challenge, isn't it, Holly?
Yeah. And I have a daughter who's an extrovert.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Yes,
and we've had similar conversations, you know, and I think that's reframing it as, I need time on my own so that I can be fully present when I am with you.
Yeah.
And here's how I'm wired, you know, like we talked about, that our nervous systems are like nets that get very full. And we need some time to empty the net a little bit. And so just, some explaining about, this is how I'm wired, this is how you're wired. And she's actually a lot more willing now. She's like, okay, mom, do you need some time? Like, are you okay?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I try to do the same and ask her, okay, like, have we been together enough? Do you feel connected? And so just kind of checking in with each other.
Right.
But there can be some misunderstanding.
Sure. You know? Sure. And I've learned over the years that to look and say, because it's not just my husband. I have two extrovert children. And then I have extroverted grandchildren except for two. And so four of the six are extroverted. So I can't just check out. It's really important for me that I don't just check out, that I explain and just say, hey, I'm going to go take a 15-minute walk on the trail and I'll be right back. And they're like, well, I want to go too. Awesome. I'll be back in 15 minutes and then we'll go together. And, or I'm going to go for 15 minutes and I'm going to read, or I'm going to do whatever. But by letting them know, it's not about you. I'm not leaving you. I want to be better with you.
Yeah.
And especially around holidays. Holidays are super hard for me.
They are. And I think that's a great strategy, is being really specific about it. Like, you're like, I'm going here for 15 minutes, then I will be back.
Yeah.
And that is the difference between kind of isolation and solitude. Mm-hmm. Solitude is intentional and chosen for a greater purpose.
Yeah.
And so that's what you are doing. And that actually protects our relationship, because if we don't ever take solitude, we hit our done point and then we are out.
Yeah.
Like, it's not optional. Even if we're still in the room, we are not there.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, and so it can feel in the moment like, oh, I'm making a selfish choice. But if we can say, I'm actually making the most protective choice for my relationships, because if I don't do this, I'm going to have a reaction where I really cannot be present with my people.
Yeah.
Or I can choose solitude now and explain that to them, and then I'll be back and I'll be fully present. And sometimes it takes people seeing that over time. The first few times they might be like, wait a minute.
Where's she going?
But over time, if they see, okay, she really does come back more filled up and more present and more engaged. And we may not have as much quantity time, but we have a lot more quality in our time together, then that can be reassuring. It stops feeling like rejection and starts feeling more like protection of the relationship.
Yeah,
that's good.
And I'm married into a family of extroverts. It's not just my husband. There is a large family of extroverts. And so I remember really feeling guilt during holidays when at a certain point I just thought, it's been at this noise level and this energy level for this period of time. And man, I have to get away. And in the beginning, it was misunderstood, because when you marry into a family of extroverts, you know, it may not be that you put guilt on yourself. It may be, and they're not doing it to put guilt on you, but you assume guilt when they begin to say, well, we're having fun. Why wouldn't you want to be here? I mean, this is fun. We need you here. And I really had to wrestle through that and give myself permission to say, number one, I'm not in competition with anybody. I don't have to be at this level to be in this family. I can be me. And then second of all, to be able to say, hey guys, I love you like crazy, but I do. I need this amount of time. And it's funny because my mother-in-law started saying, Susie, you can go lay down for 10 or 15 minutes. She would see it.
Yeah.
And and she's an extrovert too, but they started to understand that I wasn't mad at anybody. I wasn't trying to ruin the holidays. You know, I love my extroverted family. They're entertaining. They can tell stories like no other. They're giving. But because of the way that I'm wired, solitude has to be a part of my holiday.
Yeah. And I think too, that can come from extroverts and introverts actually experience happiness differently.
Yeah. Okay.
Because of the neurotransmitters we talked about last time, that extroverts rely more on dopamine, introverts more on acetylcholine.
Yeah.
So for extroverts, happiness feels like excitement and enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very like energetic outward emotion. For introverts, happiness feels like calm and contentment.
Yeah.
It's a more low-key, relaxed, we're chilling out kind of experience.
Yeah.
So our wonderful extroverts can worry that we're missing out or we're not happy when
That's exactly
that's
what it is.
That's
oh my goodness.
We're having these light bulb moments.
So what's going to help us with that? Because I really want to know how to communicate that better. So you just like explained my whole entire life in like 2 seconds.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, that's part of it. It's just knowing. And, you know, I did write a book about the powerful purpose of introverts, but I did include that because it is such a common misunderstanding. And I actually recently did a podcast interview where the host was an extrovert. Her husband was an introvert. And she said I actually give a list of happiness synonyms.
Uh-huh.
And she asked him, tell me what happiness feels like to you. And he started listing all the introvert words.
Peaceful.
And she was like, I've been trying to force this poor man to have fun our entire marriage because I didn't want him to feel bad. And I had this huge aha that like happiness and fun look different for the different types. So I think one is just having that conversation of saying, what does happiness and fun feel like to you? If you can't use those words, are your personal synonyms? And then what are the activities that we do together that go with those synonyms? And then how can we incorporate both into because extroverts, you know, occasionally they need some more low-key activities or they're going to wear themselves out at some point.
Yeah.
And as introverts, sometimes we need someone to get us out of our head and make us go have some adventure, you know? Yeah. And so it's just more of that communication piece. So I don't know.
Good.
I mean, y'all are, what do you
that's
think?
So good.
No,
because
that's good.
I think about this. I think about the last holiday that we had and, you know, we've now grown into this really large family. And I looked over and I saw one of my grands, my littles, and I could see that she was completely like, I'm done. I'm so overwhelmed. I'm so done. And so I just went over and grabbed her and I said, hey, let's go take a walk.
Yeah.
And she and I checked out and went. And it's when you know that peace or calm or quiet or whatever the word is fills you up. You can not only give it to yourself, but you can look at somebody else in your family or a loved one or a friend, and you can offer it to them too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like I always bring a puzzle to holidays now.
That's
and inevitably so people will rotate through and they'll sit with me for 15-20 minutes. And I can tell which ones are introverts that are like catching their breath or they're that extroverts who are just wanting some connection time.
Sure.
But I sort of intentionally go into it saying like, how can I, you know, incorporate this into what's going on.
Yeah, that's really smart.
What do you think, Jennifer?
You know,
especially being in ministry, like how does that?
I was thinking about one of the holidays, like when my sister-in-law got married, she married and she's an extrovert. So she married an introvert and he's very studious and he's a professor. And I can remember looking at him one time and our eyes were like this big and we were like, we are so done because we were all crammed into a tiny house together.
Yeah.
And so our done button was like going off a lot sooner than it normally would have.
Yeah.
But he would go get coffee and like he would go somewhere, you know, and I thought, well, you can do that? Like, you can actually leave? Yeah. And so for what I do is I will pick a project. I'll start cleaning up or I'll do something like that that gets me out of the room and like regroup and catch my breath.
Yeah.
So I'm still there. I'm yeah. still present. I need to be in another room doing something and then I can come back and sit still. So yeah. I think it's just having that option of just like a time out. And with introverts, I say we don't leave. We magically disappear because we don't want to say, hey, I'm leaving and like draw attention. we just leave. And they're like, where did she go? And so I feel like my people say that a lot. Like, where'd she go? And I'm hiding just for a second. So I think just giving yourself space to know that you need that and don't feel guilty. Like, you still love your people. You still want to be with them. But just take that, like, check out for just a second and then come back.
Yeah. Well, and I love the conversation starters that you gave us, Holly, because if I think about sitting across from some of my family that I love so much who are extroverts and saying to them, what fills you up? And I can hear it, you know, people, conversation, laughter, all good things, which I love too. Mm-hmm. But this is what makes me feel so good. And when I can come back and say, I love that so much too, but what makes me really happy is being able to take a deep breath, mm-hmm. you know, listening and engaging, but not being the star of the show. That makes me happy.
Yeah.
You know, so if I'm pushed to be the star of the show, that feels like competition to me. That doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
You know, I can stand on a stage and talk to 10,000 people.
Yeah.
I can step into that role and love it. But in a small group, if I'm pushed to be the center of attention, I don't love it at all.
Yeah.
I was talking to my cousin and he is in ministry and he was like, I'm an introvert. He's like, how do you do this? Because now I have to be at all of these functions. And so I just told him, I'm like, you're going to have a break before. So if you know you have something every single night, you're going to have some slice of your day that you're just alone.
Yeah.
You know, guilt-free. But like, he just needed permission to do that.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to, you know, you're going to have to be on all evening and take care of this group of people, make sure you take a nap or, you know, just have some quiet time and then you'll be able to do what God's called you to do. You'll be fine.
Yeah. And I think we can kind of think of solitude in three ways. One is strategic solitude, where that is, I'm going to have time alone before or after this event, or I'm going to bring the puzzle to the holidays or whatever it is, you know. And then scheduled solitude, we can actually pull out our calendars and schedule solitude, just like it's an important meeting. Mm-hmm. Or we can incorporate a rhythm into our lives if that's really hard. Like, if you're a mom of toddlers, there's a quote by Joanna Gaines, who's, you know, crazy busy woman, who says she just takes a few minutes alone in her car before she goes into any new event. And so that's her scheduled solitude, even though it doesn't look like a line item on her calendar. Mm-hmm. And then I think sustainable solitude, which is really that permission where we get to tell ourselves, okay, I've had enough for now. Mm-hmm. And then we get to tell other people, you know what? I am so happy sitting in front of the fire right now, curled up in this blanket. Mm-hmm. I love watching y'all play that game. And I'm going to join in the next time. But right now, I just want you to know I am so happy watching y'all. Mm-hmm. You know?
That's good. So,
but any other practical steps that you can think of as we're kind of wrapping up?
I just think that we've covered a lot. I think that conversation that you talked about, having that conversation would help so much because holidays, and I know that we're in September, and so somebody might say, you know, Susie, you're talking about holidays. Holidays come quicker than you know. And being able to have those conversations before the holidays, being able to say what makes you happy, what makes me happy? How can we join these together in activities and in ways that make us both get filled up? I just think that's really key. And I think about your own children. Maybe you're an extrovert or maybe you're an introvert, but asking this of your own children as you go into holidays so that it's fun in your own home.
Well, I think too, what makes the holidays challenging is everyone being together all the time, which actually a lot of people are experiencing right now.
Yes,
like
they are.
Because of COVID, all of a sudden, all the people are in your house all the time.
Yeah, Jennifer
which
said
is like
that.
The holidays year round.
It is.
So
it
I
is.
Think everything that we said about holidays applies to anyone who's listening who suddenly has a lot of people in their house all the time.
Yeah. Yes. So next week, we're going to be talking about genuine influence.
So I do have some resources. One is I have a free 1 minute what percent introvert are you quiz that you can take on my site, because none of us are 100% introvert or extrovert. So I actually think that would be really fun to get your people to take that, to either send them a link or if you're in a group, just go through the questions together out loud. It literally takes about a minute and then you'll know how much introvert and extrovert all of your people have in them. And I also have a book coming out, The Powerful Purpose of Introverts, Why the World Needs You to Be You. It's for you if you are an introvert or you love, lead, or share life with one. And right now you can get over $75 of pre-order bonuses if you order and fill out the form on my site. But that is not going to be around forever. So I hope you and your people will take advantage of that and that this week you get the solitude and social time that you need.
And that's it for today's episode. Thanks for going deeper, becoming freer, and connecting with us. More Than Small Talk is a part of the KLRC Podcast Network and is produced by Kara Culver. Show notes and resources are available on the More Than Small Talk page on klrc.com. You can also join us in our Facebook group. Subscribe to More Than Small Talk on your favorite app so you won't ever miss an episode.